If you have your Bibles this morning, aren't you glad you got a Bible?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you got a Bible that is without error?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad this morning that you know that God has preserved His Word,
yep,
and we can rest assured upon it in the old King James Bible? So many folks don't have that privilege. You are a privileged people to be able to know and to say, hey, I've got the perfect Word of God. And hit into that, most people can't say it. You say, well, preacher, I've got an NIV, but it's not the perfect Word of God.
Right.
Into that, the only Bible that claims to be perfect is the old King James Bible. And we just believe that it's the right thing, don't you, Robert? Amen. And so if you have your Bible and you want to turn to Revelation chapter 4. And Revelation chapter 4, I want to read a few verses and make a few comments and get you out of here. And before you get to sweating, before the heats up in here. All right, if you that are able to stand with me, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'll want to begin reading that. I'll read verse 1. In verse 2, I'd like for you to read verse 2. I like that. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and then I'll read verse 9. All right? It said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, now you read that with me.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive great honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Right.
Now,
glory.
While you're standing there, figuring out what I'm going to do next, John 15, when you're there, say amen. John said, "I," quoting from what the Holy Spirit said to him, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Would you pray with me now? Father, thank you for the word of God. Surely we want to make much of it. We thank you for preserving it for us. Thank you that our eternal life is based upon, Lord, your word. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to be able to hear the word of God preached and proclaimed, that we may be able to receive the sacrifice that was made at Calvary for our sin debt, and to know that our sins have been forgiven, and that we are a child of yours. And Lord, it makes it all the worthwhile to be able to know that we have an eternal a home in heaven, to know that you have given to us eternal life. Now this morning, Father, we do pray that you would help this preacher. Lord, if you don't help me, it would be just tinkling cymbals and sounding brass this morning. But I pray that we be able to gather something from your word that would increase our faith and encourage our hearts and cause us, Lord, to look to you and to trust you and to follow you, for thou art worthy. Now, Lord, I realize that maybe somebody here this morning, they may never have trusted you. They've never been born again. Lord, I pray for the salvation of that soul. I pray that they may come to know you as Savior before it's too late. I pray for your children today. I pray, Lord, that they may, Lord, look to you. If a lot of struggles that we face, a lot of things that, Lord, that we need your help. Help us, Lord, to be bold in proclaiming and asking for you to help us today as well. And we'll thank you for all that you may accomplish today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk a little bit about the future. Everybody likes to know what's going to take place. Am I going to get to sort of a young person? Is it, boy, I want, you know, could you tell me my future? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be rich? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? But as a child of God, it ought to be that we think about our future. And some of us, the older I get, the more about the future I think about. And Paul, John, here in writing in the book of Revelation, and we come to chapter 4, we say, well, this is a here is a picture of the of the rapture, of time that when we will be called up, when the Lord one day is going to say, hey, come up hither, children, and his church is going to be taken up. And heaven was opened. And what do you know about heaven? When someone passes away, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present where? With the Lord. Now, who's sitting on the throne? Heaven is open, and look, and the Lord is sitting on the throne. And into that roundabout, he hears music. Oh, my soul. I want to learn that song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I want to kind of zero in on verse 11 in chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, if I can say to you, to glorify the Lord, how much do we take time to think about giving glory to God into that? Now, in heaven, that's what's going on up there. There are 24 elders around the throne. Jesus is sitting on the throne. And they are crying, you are worthy to receive glorified glory and power and into that. And so he gave us a good example. You ought to get used to down here before you get up there to do something. And so is he worthy for all the glory that we can give him? Is he worthy of all the power that they hear? Is he worthy of that to which they are cried out unto him? You're worthy, O Lord, you are into that. The honor ought to be given to you. And well, we ought to honor the Lord. Is that right? We're in a time today that where that's not the Lord's not getting a whole lot of honor. He's not getting a whole lot of honor in church today. We go through some things to sing. We go through some things to greet and that. But to do honor God in our lives, in our worship of God, it is he getting honor and glory. The four beasts are crying day and night, holy, holy, holy. But could I say to you this morning that we serve a holy God? Amen. Could I say to you this morning that God is a holy God and he's not going to change that for you or me or anyone else? Holiness simply means that God is not going to put up with sin. And into that, there's here the scene in heaven, a scene that if you, I believe that if I died today, that would be the scene that I would be able to see, called up to be with the Lord if he's on the throne. Into that, to be able to see the four beasts. What do you know about the four beasts? What do they look like? Oh, my soul, let me tell you, into that, one's got the face of a lion. One's got the face of a calf, and one's got the face of a man. And one's got the face of a flying eagle. Four beasts, and they are eyes all around them. And they are observing everything that's taking place. And could I say to you that heaven is a place where you ought to be a little familiar with it. You ought to know what's going on up there. You ought to know, hey, do I want to be a part of that? And if you're a child of God, you've got a reservation. You've got a ticket. You can be able to be there. Now, into that, while I'm down here, though, I need to be doing something for God. Do I need to be? I looked at the churches. There are seven churches. Got a message. And he said, I know thy works. Into that, he said to the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. Oh, my soul, that's the thing that most of us here this morning, if you're talking about when we got saved and the more excitement that came when I knew that my sins had been forgiven, knew that I'd been being accepted in the beloved as a child of God, into that. And boy, I wanted to tell the world. Jesus is my Savior. One to tell the world that, hey, he loves you and he cares about you into that. Did you ever get, have you ever felt like that? Am I the only one that ever felt like that? Yes, am I the only one that says, hey, boy, I'm excited that I got saved. I'm excited that I got a new Savior, a new Master, a new, hopefully that we can be able to give glory to him. And I took into that boy, that, but he said, Elvis, you've left your first love. And that, and if you're not careful, you'll lose your first love. And to that, and to, boy, you have to let your love for the Lord grow. It ought to be into that. How do I let it grow? Well, giving him glory and honor and praise unto him. Into that. And boy, I tell you, you find that here that the church at Smyrna, didn't say a whole lot about the things that they were doing wrong. About the church at Pergamos, that they were having false doctrine coming in. You got to be careful about the, in your church, a false doctrine getting in into that. And he said you've got that the doctrine of Balaam get in, and the Nicolaitans, and he said the Thyatira, you've got Jezebel that usurping her authority over that, and Sardis, a name. You said, boy, you say that you live, but you're dead. And then he, I like this church here. If I wanted to belong to a church, I want to belong to the Philadelphia church. He said to the church of Philadelphia, the thing that you're doing, you're holding to the word of God. You're holding to, you have not denied my word. And could I say to you as a church this morning, you ought never deny the word of God. The word of God ought to be first and foremost in your heart, in your mind, and into that to hide it in your heart that you may not sin against God. He said, you're holding to the word of patience as well. And boy, I tell you, into that we have a mission conference coming up. And in that mission conference, we challenge one another to get involved in missions. Why? Because we want to be able to help get the word of God printed, be able to get it to the world. We believe it's just the thing that God has given to the local church to do. I think the local church ought to print the Bible. I think the local church ought to be the one that's getting the scriptures out. We buy everything from Zondervan and Nelson and all that. But hey, God gave us the word. And into that and getting involved in getting the word of God printed and getting the word of God shipped to the countries to where the missionary is at. Aren't you get excited about that? Amen. Boy, I get excited that there'd be a part. I've got a plan I'm going to present Thursday night about printing the Bible, getting the Bible printed, getting it to into the hands. It ought to be from your child up. It ought to be you taking Eliana there and saying, hey, Eliana, you ought to be get part in getting the Bible printed. Get part in getting the Word of God out. Ben, are you with me? Where's Ben at? I'm not talking about the little Ben. He's over in the other place. Anyway, a big Ben, you ought to be as well. Get involved in getting the Bible printed and getting it out and getting into the hands of those who've never heard the Word of God. That's what mission conference. We challenge one another to take home missionaries and to get the Bibles printed, get tracts printed. Thank God. We pray for Fellowship Tract League. That pray for bearing precious seed, printed Bibles into that. Boy, I tell you, without these folks, we'd be a hurting. And thank God for those that are printing Bibles into that. And so we talk about the things here that here to simply bring honor and to bring glory and honor and power to God. This is what they're going on in heaven. You know, into that glory simply means praise. Glory simply means to rejoice. Glory simply means into that I want to exalt with my life with joy. I want to have joy in my relationship with God and serving God. I want to praise Him. I want to honor Him, and it ought to be all of us. And Jesus said something about into that. He said about producing fruit. There's four major areas of life where I want to bear fruit and to glorify God. In Psalm 1, first Psalm says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinners, nor standeth in the way of the congregation. He talks about a life that is dedicated and surrendered to the Lord and bringing forth fruit. Now, into that, and so I want to talk just a little bit here about my relationship, one, to God. Are you glorifying God in my worship? And you come in here to worship God. Are you giving glory to God in your worship? Or are you just coming in here and say, well, we don't know what the preacher is going to say today? Or you reckon that he'll hurry up and get through? We got to be able to eat at 12. And did you come to worship God? Did you come to edify the saints? Did you come to give God the praise and the glory in your life? If you come to say, hey, is there any sin in my life? Lord, examine me and to see if I'm in the faith. Is there anything that is hindering me from being able to give glory to you? And into that, that's why we have invitation. If it is, you ought to get rid of it. You ought to come in and ask God's forgiveness. You ought to say, Lord, restore my fellowship with you. I want to be able to walk with you, glorifying God in my worship. And by the way, can I tell you today, you're not going to get many prayers answered if you've got sin in your heart and you're not seeking forgiveness of that sin. If you don't have a burden for that sin, this week the guy said, but you got to get that sin out of your life. You got to have a burden for that to get it, to overcome it, and to be able to commit it to God. Sin will hinder your relationship with God, and you're not going to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth when you're dealing with sin in your life. Magnify God in your relationship to God. And we talked about in Sunday school, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know you not that you've been bought with a price? You're not your own. Therefore, yield yourself to the Lord. And secondly, into that, I was thinking about in my worship. A story over in Luke, I think around Luke 17. And there was 10, the Lord came up there to Samaria, Galilee, and there was 10 lepers. You remember that story? And they were crying out to the Lord. And you know, a leper is someone that has got a contagious disease like the virus that we're dealing with here. And they said, hey, Lord, basically, will you help us? And you know what the Lord did? He went. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. And boy, their leprosy cleared up, and they got excited. But hey, one came back and said, give glory to him for healing. What did the Lord say? He said, didn't I heal 10? Where's the other 9 at? And could I say, about 9 out of 10 will not be here tonight. giving God glory in your life. Giving God glory in your worship of him. These lepers, they got healed. They got to, and by the way, leprosy is a type of sin. And we got to heal from our sin. We got the righteousness of God imputed to us. And our debt was paid. And into that, should we not give glory to him? Up there in heaven every day, every night. I mean, it's all through eternity. They are saying that they are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise into that. And it ought to be that if we're down here, that we realize we're in a body of flesh with a nature that is fallen, but we've got a new nature of God. It ought to be a desire in my heart that I want to serve God. Amen. It ought to be a desire in my heart that I want to give him praise. If it means going out here climbing a tree to give him praise, would you climb a tree? Amen. If it means giving him your pocketbook to praise him, would you give him your pocketbook? Ushers, are y'all... Now, what I'm saying, do you want to glorify God with your life? Do you want to glorify God in living and serving him into that? Glorifying God in my worship. And then in my family, do I want to glorify God in my family? Well, I'll tell you, the devil is really trying to destroy families. And it would be, you're going to have to really work at keeping your family together. Are you worshiping God? The best way to do that is to bring your family to church. Best way to do that is to get your family together and have prayer. Get your family together and have devotion. Get your family together and to worship God. And to that, Lord, I want to give you fruit by worshiping you, and I want to be able to keep worship you with in my relationship with my family. I was reading a sad story in Joshua 7, and it's a story that you're all probably familiar with as well. Jericho. What happened to Jericho? Oh, they marched around it and the walls fell down, didn't they? Now, God had warned Joshua that the stuff in Jericho is accursed. Don't take that stuff. And Joshua warned the people of Israel there that don't take the accursed things from Jericho. And they went in there. They did, stripped Jericho. But one guy did something that he was told not to do. And it brought defeat to the nation of Israel. They went up to Ai to defeat that. They got defeated. And Joshua came back and said, what's the matter? And God said, there's sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. Could I say to you, you got to be careful that you don't let sin get in the camp. You got to be careful that you don't into that. And even in your own lives. And what happened, they had to bring the whole tribes of Israel together. And of the tribe of Judah, came down to where that somebody in the tribe of Judah was the cause of it. And they began to question, and God began to point out. And it was one of the fellows there, of his dad was out of the grandfather, Zerah. Karma was his dad. He said, you got a boy here. It's right here in your family. Can I say to you today, into that, you got to be careful. You got to be careful in your family. Don't let them take of the accursed thing. You bring that booze into your house, that's a cursed thing. You bring that dope into your house, it's a cursed thing. You have a filthy mouth, it's a cursed thing. Keep your language straight. Keep your home into that to where God would be honored in it. And he goes on into that to finally Achan has to remember, has to confess his sin before the nation, the tribes here of Israel. He said, I know I wasn't supposed to do it. But I saw this goodly Babylonian garment, and I saw this these shekels of silver and gold, and I took them, and I went, and I hid them in my tent. Nobody knew it until God pointed it out. But what did it do? It destroyed his family. God said, okay, you know the penalty. And you know that into that penalty there, you're going to be stoned. How sad it is to see that they were gathered, the kids, the sons and the daughters, everything that he had, they killed them and burned them in the valley they call Achor. Your family ought to be important to you. It ought to be that you try to protect your family the best you can. And boy, you take these little ones here into that. We say, well, into that, nothing is more important than in having your church into a church that believes in the Bible, that believes that in the new birth, that believes that the children are a heritage of God, and believes that we're to nurture and to train them in the things of the Lord. That's on that day. Hopefully that your relationship in your family, that you're glorifying God in your home. You also into that, how about your relationship to the unsaved? Matthew 5:16. I'll read it to you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now here. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our relationship to God with the unsaved, it ought to be to glorify God as a witness to the world. I'm praying for those in the nursery, if you understand what I'm doing. The Bible says, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren, be enriched of they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. We have a sign in the back here that says, go you into all the world. The Bible teaches us that we are to be witnesses for the Lord. In my relationship with God, in my witness to the unsaved, Am I witness to God? Am I trying to win those? Or am I trying to give out tracts? Am I trying to tell others about the Lord? What about my witness in my own, into that to those of my loved ones? How sad it would be to know that I could be able to have be a witness to those in my family, and that I did not do it, and they refused to accept Christ, and sometimes a door is open, and we don't go through that door, right, and they die and go to hell. But as a witness for the Lord, as a child of God, as I said Wednesday night, it's not easy being a Christian. I don't care who you are. If you follow the Lord, it's going to be tough. Following the Lord into that, did he have an easy life? Did he not come under persecution? Did not he come under physical violence? And then you and I, as a child of his and following the Lord, sometimes to denying the flesh, denying the old man and living for God is hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But boy, is it not worth it?
Amen.
Right. I told Sharon Wednesday night, man, I got home and I felt so good to be in church, be able to go home and to be able to have the presence of God in our lives and to enjoy the things that we have in prayer time. Being able to pray with the brothers and sisters. Being able to get together around the Word of God. How good it was to be able to go home and have the joy in your heart and to know that everything's all right in my Father's house. Real quickly, my relationship to the saved. In Ephesians 3:21, says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Can I say to you, the church is not for the lost people? The church is for God's people. The church is made up of those who have been born again and baptized and have come together into to serving God, those that love God. And the church represents the body of Christ. And into that, and how am I glorifying God as a member of a church? How am I glorifying God in my life and giving God the glory? Walking in fellowship with those around me. You remember the church at Laodicea, he said, I have somewhat against you. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. Because you're lukewarm, you make me sick. I thank God that we have, and I don't know how many opportunities we have left to be able to come together as a body of believers and to be able to worship God. I think the time is drawing nigh. I think that into that, everything is ready for the return of the Lord. I want God to be able to be first and foremost in my life. And in doing that, I want to be a blessing to those that are around me. I want to be a blessing to those that are saved. I want to declare, thus saith the Lord. I want to put the practice of standing for the Lord. I don't want to be ashamed of him. I get real discouraged with people that seemingly ashamed of the Lord, yet they profess to know him as Savior. I think there's a time that God may be separating some things. He said, in the last days, one of the things that will be, there'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Right. And that you have to be careful if you don't get caught up into where that other things become first place in your life other than the Lord. So I say to us today, our relationship to those that are saved, our, as believers in the Lord, it ought to be that our goal in life is to please and glorify God. And there are three key elements to that. One is for personal sanctification is God enabling it. And then our commitment to His will and obedience to His word. God has given us the Holy Spirit of God to teach us His word, to convict us of sin, and to direct our lives and to empower us for service. Future, the scene, hopefully that you'll be a part of it. Come up hither. One day we're all going to hear that word. Come up hither. I was thinking about a lot of loved ones that have gone on and that the Lord has called out, come up hither. And wanting to be able to see the throne of God, and what a blessing it will be to know that I'm in that group that has been born again and that I have got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm waiting for the Lord to say, come up hither, and to be able to be called up and to see around the throne. Oh, I can imagine how great that it will be. But I believe I can hear the sound of the 24 beasts before I ever get there, crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I believe I can hear just about the 24 elders beginning to cry out, thou art worthy for glory and honor and peace. What a wonderful sight that will be. Boy, don't want to miss that. I hope you don't want to miss that. If you're here without Christ this morning, you will never get to hear that. If you're here and did not know the Lord as your Savior, you'll never get to see the 24 elders taking their crowns of gold and cast them at His feet. What a scene that heaven has to offer for us. And that is a continual scene that will go on forever and forever. But if you're here today and you're without Christ, your scene will be that one that through all eternity of being someone here and crying out, I'm in great torment. Oh, send someone to tip it with water to tip my tongue. For I'm in great torment. Is that you? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again, that will be the crowd that you will hear through all eternity. Have mercy. But it'll be too late as we stand.